From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we turn one more time to Matthew's Gospel chapter 8 to consider the subject Christ, the great physician of bodies and souls. Before that, we start with our hot topic for today. Mormons want us to accept them as Christians. We are Christians too. That was the message preached at the Southside Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints 177th Annual Conference in Salt Lake City. In the same sermon, the apostle who made the claim openly rejected the statement of the Nicene Creed of 325 AD that Christians have ever since accepted as an accurate presentation of the biblical doctrine of the Trinity and of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. By any biblical standard of judgment, Mormons are most certainly not Christians, for the simple reason that their religion is a pernicious perversion of what the Bible presents as genuine Christianity. Claiming to be Christian doesn't make the Mormon religion Christian. A blogger on the Salt Lake Tribune website told a story that's very much to the point, and I quote, "Many years ago, Abraham Lincoln was reported to have had a long and arduous discussion with a man with whom he could not come to an agreement. Finally, Mr. Lincoln asked the man, 'How many legs does a lamb have?' His opponent answered, 4, of course. Mr. Lincoln responded with a second question, 'Suppose we call the tail a leg, then how many legs does a lamb have?' His opponent tersely responded, 5. Mr. Lincoln then brought the argument to a close, saying, 'That's the same mistake you've been making all day long. Calling a tail a leg does not make it one. And calling a Mormon a Christian doesn't make him one either.'" Mormonism has a carefully, I would say deceitfully, crafted set of 13 core beliefs. I say deceitfully crafted because they don't reflect the teachings of men like the Mormon founder Joseph Smith, and yet Mormonism holds such teaching to be true. According to the doctrine that Mormonism holds to be true, but doesn't advertise in its statement of faith, God was once as we are, and that he progressed until he became God, just as we may do. According to Mormonism, God the Father has a physical body. Indeed, while the Book of Mormon appears to say that there's only one God, Mormon dogma as taught by men such as Joseph Smith declare that there are many gods. So Mormonism rejects the Christian doctrine of the Trinity and embraces the heathen doctrine of polytheism. The list of anti-Christian theories could go on, exalting another source of authority, the Book of Mormon, to equality with or superiority over the Bible, holding that God is not eternal, but matter is, proposing that before this present life we were all spirit children of God, with Jesus and Lucifer as our elder brothers, and teaching what is in effect salvation by personal obedience, yet somehow through the atonement of Christ. This is not a detailed refutation of the egregious errors of Mormonism, so I'll stop there. However, enough has been said to show that no matter how loudly our Mormon apostle claims we're Christians too, we need to see that Mormons are dupes of a particularly Christless and hopeless religion. The fact that many Mormons are good citizens and trustworthy workers doesn't change this reality. Mormons are just like other people deluded by false cults. They need us to give them the gospel to lead them to the truth.
Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. Resigned, submissive, meek, my dear Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. In every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above, write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS at freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer. Now it's time to return to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, as we finish off our study of Christ, the great physician of bodies and souls, looking particularly at the authority of his word and the potency of his touch. With that in mind, we turn now to Matthew chapter 8.
If anything's ever going to be done that's worth doing in America, it'll not be done by act of Congress or decision of the Supreme Court, or they may come aboard. It will be done by the power of the Word of God. That's the only way. What I want to see in this church, what I want to see in the free church, and especially what I want to see among the young men rising up in this church, is a vision, a conviction, a burning conviction, that if I am going to do anything great, it will not be by becoming a millionaire, it will not be by becoming a celebrity, it will not be by this, that, or the other thing that the world counts great. I can make a difference for God and for truth by being a man of this word, and I can do nothing greater than to spread this word with power through this nation to the ends of the earth. It's my burden for the young of this congregation, because I tell you, there's authority in the name and in the word of our Savior. Speak the word only. Do you see what the centurion was saying? This is why the Lord Jesus said, "This is the greatest faith I have found in all of Israel." It was in a Roman centurion. Even the disciples hadn't arrived at this place. He said, "Lord, I'm just a centurion. I have officers who can order me around. But even a little pygmy like me, I have soldiers under me. And in those 100 men, I can say, 'You're my servant, do this,' and he's got to do it." The implication is, you are the Lord of all. This disease Is it amenable to your command, as the meanest soldier is in my band to me? Speak the word only. That's the language of faith. But you know, it's also the essence of faith. Do you see what Jesus said? This is great faith. But he says, many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Many like this centurion will come in and be saved. Why was he saying that? Because by grace are you saved through faith. And this was his faith. And then he says, but the children of the kingdom. I may preach in these verses again sometime. Years ago I preached a message called simply Heaven and Hell, from verses 11 and 12 of Matthew 8. This is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible that I know. Heathens are coming into the kingdom. Thank God for that. But the children of the kingdom, the people who have been brought up under the sound of God's truth, the people who have learned passages of God's word, the people who know all the right answers to the theological questions, the people who have been in the church, you'd expect them to embrace the gospel. But the children of the kingdom, cast out into hell. Why? Because their faith is not in Christ. I want you to listen very carefully, especially all of you who had Christian parents or were brought up in the church or have gone through the Sunday school or have had the way of salvation explained again and again and again and again and again and again. I want you to listen very carefully. I believe there are millions of people just like you in the darkness of God's hell, the children of the kingdom, rejecting Christ, perishing in their sin. Is that what's happening to you? Your father's faith and your mother's devotion will never bring you to heaven. You must have Christ. And I want to tell you, the authority of Christ's word will reach you as you come to him, and it will be just as effective and instantaneous as it was in the case of the centurion servant, and will give you an instant deliverance. Time forbids that I'd wanted to take time to deal with the potency of Christ's touch, how he touched the leper, took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, and as the crowds came upon him at the end of the day, he touched them all. I want you to think of it, though I'll not take time to preach much on it. Again, one of the loveliest things about Christ and one of the great proofs of his divinity. You know, everybody else who touched a leper became unclean. Everybody else who touches sin is defiled by the sin. But the Lord Jesus was the impeccable Christ. He not only did not sin, but could not sin, could not be defiled. And when he put his hand on the leper, instead of the leprosy defiling him, he destroyed it. That's what he does with every sin. The sin that defiles you and me and spreads filth and defilement wherever it goes, once it's brought in contact with the touch of Christ, it is defeated and destroyed. What does it tell you this morning? What do you need in your life? Whatever your sin, whatever your failure, however deep your problem, however strong the chains that bind you, however filthy and defiling your heart and your life have become, what do you need? You need simply the touch of the Master's hand. And when that touch touches you, thank God, it will destroy what's destroying you. For all the energy and all the strength of deity manifest in flesh flows through the touch of the Savior to the needy soul. I finish with one thing. There's something that's easy to overlook, and that's the authenticity of Christ's work. Notice what he said to the leper, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, the leper didn't want to do that. The leper wanted to stay and tell everybody what had happened. The Lord Jesus quickly sent him away. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, dealing with the case of leprosy that's mentioned there, the word is that really he cast him away. It's a strong word. He threw him out. Not because he didn't want him, but he didn't want and he didn't need the notoriety that came from this man's trumpeting of what had just happened. You see, people were fascinated with miracles. And you can get so fascinated with miracles that you lose sight of Christ. And that's what was happening. So the Lord Jesus sent him away, but he had another greater reason for sending him away. You see, the work of Christ has to stand up to the scrutiny of the law of God. The work of Christ has to gain the testimony of the law of God that it's a perfect work. In other words, the law had to pronounce the leper clean. Otherwise, the whole work of Christ would appear a delusion. Remember that the Jews had no hope for a leper. Lepers were dead while they lived. And yet, here had the priest knew this leper, and here he was, and he was healed. Jesus says, go for a testimony to them. Don't want to follow this through, but you see something. Those legal experts, from that moment onwards, were without excuse. This is one reason Jesus later said to Capernaum, you have been exalted to heaven. You will be brought down to hell. He gave those legal experts the greatest proof of who he was. When he sent the leper, they pronounced the leper clean, but they dismissed and rejected the one who had made him clean. We bit like people today. But nonetheless, the law said, he's clean. This is the beauty of the Savior's work. He satisfies the law. And because of what he does, the law pronounces us acceptable. I hope you begin to see that the miracles of Christ are sermons in action. They're theology indeed. In other words, what Jesus did for the leper, he does for every leprous sinner who comes to him. And the law stands over the believer in Jesus. What does he say? What does it say? I find no fault. Can you imagine that? The Ten Commandments standing in judgment over you and me and saying, guiltless. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. Oh, I trust today that you'll know him. Because all these incidents prove that he's the sole help of the needy. Who could help the leper? Who could heal the centurion's servant? Or any of the rest of those sick people who could cast out Satan, who could rid the man with the unclean spirit in that synagogue of that defiling and demonic presence? Certainly religion couldn't do it. It was in the synagogue, after all, that he was demon-possessed. Religion couldn't help him. Christ is the hope and the help of all in need. I trust this morning that you'll catch something of a sight of the great physician, not only a physician of the body, but a physician of the soul. Make sure today of two things. Make sure that you, before you go out through those doors, know Christ as your physician and your Savior. And then second, make sure that since you know Him, the supreme end of your life, the purpose of your being, will be to make Him known.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.